It's like White Lotus meets Only Murders in the Building with me with three kids in tow, going up to the commune looking for the death records and the police records.
Benvenuti a Ciao Bella. I'm your host, Erica Firpo. For the past 20 years, I've made my home in Rome, where I've worked as a journalist contributing to publications including Afar, Washington Post, Lonely Planet, and Travel and Leisure. I love sharing the stories of Italy's pioneering creators, and I'm bringing these stories directly to you on Ciao Bella. Every week, I'm joined by contemporary artists, heritage artisans, designers, culinary experts, innovative aesthetes, and more. At the crossroads of evolution and tradition, the past and the future, they are working and creating to define and redefine 21st century Italy. Join me as we see Italy through their eyes. It's about time I introduced you to Joe Piazza, journalist, editor, author, podcast host, and Italian-American from Philadelphia. I've known Joe virtually over the past decade, first as an editor, then as an author, and now as a podcast host. Joe has a lot going on, and this spring she's packed a double punch with The Sicilian Inheritance, her novel set in Sicily, of course, which jumps off of a family story of murder and more, and her true crime podcast that aims to solve the family's legend. Introducing Joe Piazza, the hardest working woman in the story business.
First of all, why don't you give us a little idea of what the book's about?
Totally. So The Sicilian Inheritance is a novel. It is all fiction. I made it up. But there's this story that I've known for most of my life about my great-great-grandmother being murdered in Sicily. And there are all of these versions of the story, but my family is full of liars and storytellers and mythmakers, and it's been a 100-year game of telephone. So I just took this one little thread of the story. What would it be like to be a woman left in Sicily? Your husband comes to America. All of your children come to America. You're still back there trying to sell the land, do whatever it takes. And it's dangerous. It's not that safe. What did your life look like? And I used that to start writing The Sicilian Inheritance. And it's about a modern day woman who goes back to Sicily to try to claim her family's ancestral land. And in the midst of it, solves the murder of her own great-grandmother. And also finds herself, and it's filled with delicious food and delicious wine and some like really hot people doing like sexy, steamy things, but not in a gross way. And it's the most fun I've ever had writing a book. It's been hailed as the book of the summer, which is so nice and so fun. And really, it's an adventure in Sicily, which I think, so many of us want. We want like a nice escape. So many books, I think, are very heavy these days. And this is not that.
Oh, I can't wait to read it. But I have a question about escapes. Like, had you been to Sicily before you wrote this?
So many times. Yeah. I used to be a travel editor, and I've also been to Sicily with my dad, who was obsessed with Sicily before he passed. He passed away 8 years ago, and he was obsessed with, he thought he would eventually retire in Sicily. He wanted to know about the family history. I went back there with him and my mom once in my 20s, and they renewed their vows at like this fancy resort outside of Palermo. And my parents hated each other, by the way. They were married for more than 30 years and they freaking hated each other, and they still renewed their vows in Sicily. So I went with him. Sicily was also my first solo travel trip. I had never really traveled alone, and Sicily was the first time I traveled alone, which is a crazy ass place to travel alone for the first time. But also,
I was gonna say, my nonna used to tell me, so my side of the family's, my family's from Rome, and my nonna used to say, whatever you do, you're not allowed to go to Sicily by yourself. And I'd be like, why? I thought she was gonna be like, I'd get jumped or anything like that. And she would literally say, she's like, someone might marry you. like I'd be like taken into someone's home and never leave because I got married by a Sicilian.
Because you got married by a Sicilian.
Is that what happened to you?
Weirdly, yes. But don't tell my husband, Nick. No, I did not get married. It was, but I got hit on, and I met some like really very, very good looking men who did cook dinner for me. It's funny because the author, Tembi Locke, she did get married. Like, she did go to Sicily and she got married, and wrote a wonderful book about it from scratch and a TV show. So that does happen. Your Nona was right that could be a hazard of going to Sicily by yourself.
So you were saying that you went there and it was kind of crazy. What was the craziest thing that happened when you were there? Or just the vibe? Is it just the vibe?
It's just the vibe. I mean, it's also, and which time? Like the first time, I don't even know how many times I've been back now, but I think the best thing I can say about it is you can make plans. Like you can make whatever plans you want for going, and they're all going to get completely changed when you get to Sicily, and you're going to be surprised in the most delightful of ways. So I went back with my husband, Nick. We took our 3-month-old son, our first child there, God, 7 years ago. And we're going up Mount Etna. We're looking for this restaurant, right? We had like been told there's this great restaurant. We're driving, we're lost. Like it looks like we're on a dead end road in the forest and we can't find this place. But then we found the greatest winery that I've ever been to, the Gambino Winery. Completely unexpected. This restaurant was long gone, by the way. It had been burned down. And that's what you learn in Sicily. You're like, yeah, you know, it just got burned down. And that no one gives you an explanation. You're like, okay, yeah, great. Don't tell me anymore. So we find this winery that it just rose up like out of the volcano, like a magical, magical castle. And we're exhausted new parents, right? Like this was our first baby. He's 3 months old. He's not sleeping. We get there. The owner of the winery just takes our freaking baby from us and is like, here, you drink, you have some food. I'm just gonna hold and kiss your little 3-month-old baby. It was magical, but more magical because it was unexpected. This was not what we planned for our day. And I think that's what every day is like in Sicily. You're like, you make a plan, and in most places, your plan happens. In Sicily, it doesn't, but then something better happens.
I think that's so true. I mean, I feel like I know the answer, but what's it like being Italian American from Philadelphia?
You know, I have to say, I love being Italian American. It is the part of my family that it's the part of my identity that my family has embraced the most. So my dad was half Irish, half Sicilian, and yet I don't think the man ever celebrated a St. Patrick's Day. Like it was, he was like, I am only Italian. And he was obsessed with Italy. He was obsessed with Sicily. Philadelphia is a great place to be an Italian American because we just have such a strong, wonderful community here. And it is our little Italy is still a really special place. And I know it is in lots of parts of the country, but in lots of parts of the country, it doesn't really exist anymore. And ours is still very vibrant. Our Italian American food culture is so vibrant. I think that some of the best Italian food outside of Italy is actually in Philadelphia. So I love it so much. The Sicilian Inheritance, my new book is actually set, it's mostly set in Sicily, but then also in Philadelphia. So she lives in South Philly, she lives near the Italian market, and then she goes to Sicily and has this crazy adventure. But it is also probably my most Philly book yet.
Just out of curiosity, did you grow up with your dad speaking any Italian?
No, he
Like,
can't speak Italian. No, terrible. Like, I mean,
so.
he speaks Italian like Tony Soprano speaks Italian, okay?
That's how my younger daughter used to speak English when she was real. I love it. Like, but did she did you so how did you communicate when you were in Sicily? Do you speak Italian?
So I'm better at speaking Italian than I've ever been. But it's still bad. Like it's bad. And I'm working on it. I took Italian when I was in college at Penn, and now I'm like a Duolingo freak and I'm trying to get much better. But it's not nearly as good as I want it to be. And it's my new hobby. Like people ask me all the time, they're like, what are your hobbies? Like, do you like to read a lot? And I'm like, I don't have normal hobbies because I write books for a living, so reading is work, and I make podcasts for a living, so podcasts are work. So my hobby is now learning Italian, but also now learning Italian is kind of work.
So I have a question then for that. I mean, if you're learning Italian, which is great, how do you feel in Sicily where it can, like, I have walked, I grew up speaking Italian. I have walked around in Sicily. I have tons of friends from Palermo, and they have moments where, like, hold on, Erica, we're gonna have to translate this for you. Because I'm like, I mean, how did you get around?
Yeah.
It's insane. The dialect is insane in Sicily.
The dialect is insane in Sicily. And when I was writing Sicilian Inheritance, it was tricky too, because I had a lot of words in dialect, and not just dialect, but dialect from 100 years ago. So that was really hard to get through copy editing. But the first time that I went to Sicily, no one that I was hanging out with spoke English. We got through with my really bad Italian or just like hand gestures. Like we made it work because this was also pre-iPhone days, and we figured it out. More people speak English now than they did when I first went there. Way more people. And so I found it a lot easier to get around. We just went there last summer.
You guys were living there for a few months, right?
Yeah. And we were living there in July. And I took my three kids under six to Sicily to finish writing The Sicilian Inheritance. And also we're doing a true crime podcast to go along with the book where I try to solve my great great grandmother's actual murder. It's like White Lotus meets only Murders in the Building with me with three kids in tow, going up to the commune, looking for the death records and the police records. And this trip, a lot more people spoke English than before. But it was still a comedy of errors because it's me and three kids. I will say Sicily is the best place to travel with kids. Like my kids, they're a lot. They're feral. It was almost alarming for my now 6-year-old because there was so much hugging and kissing of the babies.
People always ask me like, oh, you know, do you know if there's a kids menu? Can I bring my kid to this? I'm like, you're in Italy. And then it's Sicily. It's like a million times better because there's no such thing as a kids menu because kids eat everything and people will feed your kids. You don't have to do anything. Someone will feed your child for you.
Someone will feed your child. And also, you know, everyone asks me about Sicily too. They're like, I have a picky eater. And while I have one kid who eats anything, so she eats everything off the menu, she's eating mussels, she's eating squid. And I have another kid who doesn't eat anything but beige food. And you know what? There's picky eaters in Sicily too. And so in every restaurant, they were like, okay, just like, yes, we can make you butter with noodles. They got it. Exactly. They got it and they don't care. They're not judgmental. They're just like, we know that kids eat like all different things. Here you
exactly.
go.
Well, I think they love it when you're opinionated about food because it's like, because everybody, I think in Italy, everybody has a really strong opinion on food. You know, everybody knows who makes the best this. Everybody's mother made the best that, you know? And then when you're like, I don't eat this, it's like, I get it. I can accommodate you, but you're going to eat.
But you're going to eat. And, you know, my son, who is the picky eater, and he's the worst, he was psyched by the Busati, like the different kinds of noodles, right? And so like he's still, totally. And also I will say he ate fettuccine Alfredo for the first time, which while still butter and noodles, at least there's some cream in there, okay? It's like, it was just like slightly different. And yeah, he was delighted. I mean, he was also delighted. I think we had fragola gelato so many times. He had it, he tried the gelato, the strawberry gelato, every single place that we went, sometimes three times a day.
I admire that. I feel like that's the sign of an Epicurean.
Yeah,
tell me what it was like researching in Sicily. Because I mean, like you were saying, I know you said everybody speaks English, but it's not, I mean, as great as that can be, there is a level of bureaucracy that you face. Documents can be, you know, you can have some documents in the comune, some documents in a church, but never shall the twain meet, you know?
Oh no, it's impossible. It's insane, actually. Like our research process has been absolutely bananas. We've learned a lot. We really did. So on the last trip, we went to the comune, and also it's only open for an hour twice a week. And once they were finished talking, they were like, he's just like, we're closing now. And I'm like, it's been 40 minutes. He's like, we are done. And so
in a small town outside of Sciacca?
Tiny town called Tabalota outside of Sciacca. It's on top of the mountain outside of Sciacca. There's like a big rock that comes up like a shark fin out of it. And we found my great-great-grandmother Lorenza's death records. And we found a bombshell with the death records that I won't reveal, but it was a bombshell. I will tell you that.
That's going to be in the podcast.
It's in the podcast. Yeah.
I can't wait.
But there's no cause of death on it. There's so much other useless information. I mean, essentially like her parents' birthdays and like all sorts of random stuff handwritten in the book of deaths, right? But no cause of death. And so all of the other records that we want are in Sciacca, maybe. And we need all of these different layers of permission to get them. We have three people helping us in Sicily with it right now. We have one American researcher who lives in Sicily. We have a prosecutor that's in Shaka. We have a reporter who lives partially in Africa, partially in Sicily, and partially in Rome. Everyone trying to locate these documents for us. We're also trying to find the last will and testaments and the land records. The bureaucracy is insane, but it's also very satisfying research, I will tell you, because when you find something, it means that much more. Like, and I'm a reporter. I've been a reporter for 20 plus 25 years at this point. And reporting now, a lot of, like, you can Google so many things. It's almost more satisfying to not be able to Google something and discover it on your own. And this podcast, I think, and the podcast is going to be called The Sicilian Inheritance too, and it will come out mid-March. We're kind of taking listeners on this journey of discovery, and that's what I think makes it a lot of fun and more fun than the average true crime podcast, because you're also coming to Sicily with us, and you're with us in real time. My podcast producer was with us last summer as we went through all of these documents, and you're with us and making the discoveries with us. And I think that's very satisfying.
I think, I can't wait to listen to this. I mean, this is the kind of stuff I really love. I love that research into the past, because you never know what you're going to stumble across. But I have a question for you. When you say it's your great-grandmother, Lorenza?
My great-great-grandmother.
So what years are we talking?
She was killed in 1916. February 24th, 1916.
Oh, that's coming up. So that's so that's post-unification. So Italy is a country, but Sicily is decimated at this point. I can't imagine. That must have been a lot of fun, a lot of frustrating fun to go through all of that. I mean, it probably still is, because especially when you're dealing with the small comuni, which on one level can be really helpful because they don't have a lot of people, but I'm going to guess Piazza, I don't know what your great grandmother's name was.
Marsala. There's a lot
Marsala.
Of them.
I'm sure. Marsala.
There's a lot of them. Yeah. Yeah.
I was gonna say, I'm sure it's not quite that easy, when there are a lot of names that you're working with.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Marsala, Piazza, and Grado. Grado. Like super, super common names. Tricky but satisfying. I can't wait to go back. We're in the process of getting permission to get into the homicide archives in Shaka. So hopefully.
This is kind of nuts, actually.
It's pretty nuts. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Homicide, I wouldn't even think about it. And I wonder what is in the homicide archives from the 1910s.
I can't wait to find out, because we've already gone through the police records. But the homicide records are separate from the police records. So we've found different Marsalas in land disputes, but we can't see her actual cause of death, if it was a murder yet. And then there's this other crazy twist that involves a vendetta and revenge. I mean, it just gets nuttier. Like I said, it's White Lotus meets Only Murders in the Building.
I can't wait to listen to this.
Hey there, it's pretty obvious that I love Rome and everywhere in Italy. So I'm excited to share that I've compiled all of my favorite places, where to go, eat, see, and stay, into the coolest, easy-to-use guides for Saltit. Saltit is a lineup of curated personal guides by expert journalists and travel writers like myself. My guides, Rome with Ciao Bella and Venice with Ciao Bella, are the very best on-the-ground resources for the Eternal City and La Serenissima. Every place that I love and repeat visit, from restaurants, bars, and boutiques, to art galleries, archaeo sites, hotels, and more are included. My guides are everything you need for Rome and Venice, and they are always up to date. The best part is that they support writers like me. Along with my guides, Saltit has great guides to Lisbon, Paris, Bologna, Philadelphia, and my favorite, Little Italy in the Bronx, by Ciao Bella guest Daniele Oteri. So visit Saltit and support a writer. It'll make you feel good. Saltite.com. SALTETE.com.
Do you still have family members in Sicily?
I don't. No, not close family members. And we're talking like sixth cousins at this point. But everyone left. Lorenza had seven children, and they all came to America one by one, two by two. We also worked with Ellis Island to get all of those records. So we have all of the ship manifests and everything, which
is. Did they all go to Philadelphia?
They all went to Scranton. They all went to Northeast PA because the mines were up there. And so, you know, Sicilians had worked in a lot of the sulfur mines. And so they went to work in the coal mines and be farmers in Northeastern PA where land was cheap.
Just, I'm going to throw this randomly out there. Do you remember that baseball player, Mike Piazza?
Yeah, we are not related. He is also from Philadelphia. He actually, he wanted to be on my other podcast, Committed, a long time ago, because I think he moved back to Italy to do something.
Mike Piazza?
I think really? So, with his wife. I think they started a vineyard or something. Maybe I'm just making up lies right now. I don't know. I should Google this. But when I was a poor young reporter living in New York City in my 20s, I just showed my driver's license at the Met Stadium. And they like let me into a fancy box because they thought I was related to Mike Piazza.
Like, he's my big brother.
I just didn't say anything. You know, it is not a lie if you just like smile and nod knowingly.
Oh, I got to try that with the name Piazza. I once was on an airplane and I'm getting on the airplane and this guy goes, yo, which I was like, you know, my music to my ears, right?
I know, yeah.
And I look, and because I was leaving, I was going from Philadelphia to LA, and this guy goes, yo, do you want to sit next to me? He's like, I've got an open seat. And I was like, and it was in first class, and I look at him, and I'm like, are you? He's like, I'm Mike Piazza.
Yes.
Like, I was like, yo, I'll sit next to you.
Yo, yeah, I will. Yo.
So
I love that. That brings me so much joy.
I think any little Italian American moment brings me
totally.
If it has a little Philly overlap.
Yeah, exactly.
So does your family move to Scranton?
So they moved to Scranton, and then a lot of them moved down to the Philly area. My dad is one of five, and him and his sister moved to Philly. There's also some of them are also in Iowa. One of the fun parts about the Sicilian Inheritance podcast is interviewing my different family members about their version of this story, because they're all different.
Wow. And they're all over. They're in Iowa, they're in Philadelphia.
They're in Iowa, they're in Scranton, they're in Rochester, New York, they're in Philly. Yeah. And they all have this slightly different version, which, like I said, it's been a 100-year game of telephone.
Well, you also said something earlier where you were like, they're all a bunch of liars, myth makers.
Yep. Storytellers.
And,
yeah.
And that's the point. Like, it just, it's like 1,000 years of telephone or 100 years of telephone, like you're saying, but you know, then everybody has their own sensationalism. So tell me a little bit, how does that come into, or does that at all come into the book?
Yeah. So the thing about the book is it really is fiction. It's a novel. Because I am also apparently a storyteller, myth maker, and liar. And
How many podcasts do you have? You have six podcasts?
I don't know.
You have nine books? How many books do you have? You are a storyteller.
There's 12 books. And right now I am making four podcasts. That sounds crazy when I say it out loud.
It's insane.
And there's three children. Like, it's nuts. But so when I was writing the novel, I didn't want to know the real story. I wanted to just write fiction. I wanted to enjoy like the storytelling creation aspect of it. I didn't start doing the real research until after I had turned the novel in. And then when I did, something crazy happened, which is I discovered that a lot of the things I had written about her were true. And so like, that's creepy, right? It makes me think that like there is something a little bit bigger and more woo-woo going on here, that maybe this woman who, and we talk about this a lot in the podcast, I don't think it's giving anything away. My family tells this story all the time. Half of them don't know her freaking name, okay? They just like, it's a story of a woman who was murdered, and they've kind of held on to that. And yet I think it's very important to talk about who she was as a woman in the world, because we lose women's stories because they haven't been able to tell their own stories for so long. And so my goal has really been to find out more about what she was like in life. And, you know, there are some rumors that she was a Strega, that she was a witch and a healer. These are details that ended up in the book and just became, I do think that there is something to the fact that she wants her story to be told. And so in the podcast, we're also consulting with three different psychic mediums, as well as some Italian-American Strega today. So we're going there. We are like dealing with the Sicilian bureaucracy, and we are also dealing with the like supernatural world. We do all the things.
The Stregheria. That's what
Stregheria,
we say.
Stregheria, yeah.
Oh, that's... You're insane. That's insane.
I know. I know. There's something wrong with me. There's like it's insane. Yeah, but it's so fun. It's really fun.
Tell me, what's, you know, you've spent so much time in Sicily. You brought your kids to Sicily. Where would you say, and not including your little hometown, what are some of your favorite places in Sicily?
Oh, it's so hard. But this past trip, we went to Scapello for the first time. And did the whole Zingaro Reserve and the boat trip. And I loved that. I love Scapello. I'm working on planning a reading and writing retreat in Sicily, hopefully for the fall, which I think that we'll be doing in Scapello. I love Cefalù, that we went there for the first time, spent like significant time there for the first time this past trip. I also loved Modica, which I did not go to on this trip. We were there when I was there with my husband and my first kid, and that was just a delight. I still have friends that send me chocolate from there on a very regular basis, friends that we met while we were there. I have an unpopular opinion. I don't like Taormina. I think it's beautiful, and like I like to visit for a couple hours when the cruise ships are not there. But it's just so crowded, and it has become so touristy that we completely avoided it on this past trip.
I would say, you know, it's probably also in your genes because you're West Coast.
Exactly.
Like
you
can't like that side of the island as much as the other side.
You can't. No, I'm not supposed to. I've also spent a significant amount of time on Marettimo, which I just think is like such a special, special treat if you have enough time to go out to the islands to get to be there. It feels like a real authentic Sicilian experience because it's so much less touristy.
So I have an idea. When your book comes out, which by the time everyone's listening to it, it has come out and everybody's got it. But when your book comes out, The Sicilian Inheritance, because I love Palermo, I love Sicily, I love all of Sicily, but I'm supposed to be going back shortly, but I think I might time it with your book.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
do
sit
that.
On the beach. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit on your beach because you said it's the book of the summer. I'm going to sit on the beach, read mm-hmm. The Sicilian Inheritance in full, like full immersion, full infusion Sicilian.
Yes, this is what I want. This is what I want. I want people to either read it in full immersion Sicilian or be reading it and then book your trip to Sicily, which a lot of our early readers have read it and then booked a trip to Sicily. Like it puts you right there. It really does.
I really can't wait to read it. I can't wait. I'm just gonna be 100% Sicilian when I read the Sicilian.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, are you gonna do an audiobook?
So yeah, there's an audiobook. We just auditioned the readers because the book is told in two timelines. Serafina in the early 1900s and Sarah in modern day. And we have a native Italian speaker doing Serafina, which is great.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, the audiobook is being recorded right now. I don't do my own audiobooks for fiction. We hire voice actors for that. I only do it for the nonfiction. But the audiobook is going to be really good.
All right, I can't wait. I was wondering if it was going to be like Joe behind it, but I like this idea of like you having someone else in the characters.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait. So I know you're going to Sicily in a few weeks. What's the first thing you're going to eat?
Oh my God, such a great question. I'm a big squid ink pasta girl.
Oh.
Like Yeah. So I love a good squid ink pasta with some grilled octopus. And I love a good pistachio bussati. And I've got to say, the cannoli in Sicily are better than the cannoli you're going to find I mean, definitely. There's good cannoli in Philadelphia, but nothing compares. So I've had better cannoli in Sicilian gas stations than I've had in the best restaurant in the States.
Agreed. Agreed. Well, I can't wait to meet you. I can't wait to see you. And I'm looking forward to the book.
Thank you. I can't wait. Yeah, I will either see you in Rome or I will see you in Philadelphia.
Jo's book, The Sicilian Inheritance, is on bookshelves now. Her podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance, should be in your ears right now. Thanks, Jo, for making this episode happen. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Ciao Bella. The editor of Ciao Bella is Mastro. Production manager is Jenna Spray. If you're new to Ciao Bella, take a peek at ciaobella.co, our all-encompassing Italy-focused website, where you'll find insider insight on contemporary Italy. And sign up for our newsletter for new episodes and articles. Follow me on Instagram at Erica Firpo, and follow Ciao Bella on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. Leave us a rating or comment. Ciao, ciao.